It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not too bad, thank you, not too bad.
Not too bad. A lot changes in a fortnight, especially when there's a global pandemic on and an election year. And we do want to focus on level three, but maybe let's start by touching base on the election date changing, which you announced just the other day. Big silver lining to this is that 5,000 young New Zealanders will now be eligible to vote in this election. What's your advice to people who might be just thrown into this suddenly and be a little bit overwhelmed with where to start on finding out about the referendums and various political parties?
Yeah, I have to admit, of all the things I was considering, it wasn't until after I made the decision and announced it, and I saw someone just make a comment online, oh, it means I can vote now, that there are always people just on the cusp of missing out who have now been brought in. And so that group, look, you know, I my view is that young people are some of our most engaged group of people. And so I imagine that those who are just on the cusp of and have now been brought into the voting age will already be following, you know, politics, areas of interest. On the referendums, we are trying to make it as easy as possible for people to get information. Euthanasia is probably, I would say, you know, relatively straightforward in terms of information. A lot more debate, obviously, around cannabis. My chief science advisor, I asked her to bring together a panel of experts to try and bring some objective information. She's put that out. So if people are looking for something they can turn to that's based on research and evidence, that's one source I would recommend.
Fantastic. Now, some people might be feeling a little bit anxious about voting if we aren't able to get to level one by the time October the 17th rolls around. What kind of practices will the Electoral Commission be putting in place to ensure that no one's disenfranchised by the pandemic?
Well, since April, we put extra funding into the Electoral Commission to support their work to be able to operate an election, because we just had to be prepared. We're watching elections around the world. And so they have prepared an election even before now that can be held in a level two environment. And in some cases, in some parts of the country, if they needed to, they could also do a level three environment. And so that means basic things like they'll be able to maintain social distancing at voting places. One of the key factors is they will have, or they at least had planned to and will be working towards this for the new date, a large number of booths that will be open for advance voting. We're anticipating up to 60% of people will vote before election day, and that will really help us spread out crowds, make sure that people have social distancing. They're even producing pens so that people aren't in contact with anyone else's pen for voting. Also, with the fact we're now going to be in advanced voting period during school holidays, we'll be able to use more school facilities for advanced voting as well as on the day. So those initiatives will help.
Well, let's talk about level three, because obviously that is where we are in Auckland at the moment. Yesterday, Ashley Bloomfield said that this current Auckland cluster is going to be our biggest cluster to date. Have you seen any modelling of how big it could get?
Oh, I've seen some modelling for clusters, and I've talked to some of the people who got advice from via some of the people who have done work on clusters before. Modelling for clusters is very hard because they're unique circumstances, and what we'll see from those will be unique to where people work and socialise and so on. So it's not too easy, but I was looking back at the history of some of our past clusters, and it is fair to say that they often ran for a long period of time before they were shut down. Our largest, they tended to sit just under 100. You can see from this one and its early stages that it is likely to be large. Part of that will just be the fact that, the time frame before we grabbed it and we're starting to put these isolation and quarantine in, but also just where people involved socialise and congregate. We've touched on schools, we've touched here on churches, so all of that makes a difference too.
Now, I do want to return to schools, but I want to stay on the borders for a little bit. The front page of today's press describes chaos at the border, particularly when it comes to testing frontline workers. And also, Judith Collins has just been on RNZ saying that Auckland workers and businesses are paying the price for weak borders. Do you think that's a fair call?
No, because at this stage, and we've done a large round of testing of our frontline border workers, our quarantine staff, and at this stage we have not identified the source of this outbreak. So that's not an evidence. We may yet, but there's no evidence to suggest that. What also I push back on is there has been border testing. For instance, you know, customs staff were using GPs and community health centres for testing if they were symptomatic. We recognised we weren't able to track when that was happening. So on-site testing was set up at Auckland Airport on the 10th of July. It ran against on the 16th of July. So we did have border testing. We were reporting to Cabinet on that as well. We had concerns that they weren't picking up enough, and so we were scaling up. And in the last report, we had over 200 border workers were tested in late July, early August. So there was border testing. The issue we had is whether or not it was as comprehensive as it needed to be. Having said that, we have as yet not established that that is where this outbreak has come
from. But for potential future leaks, are you concerned that there might be gaps there? Are they being plugged at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. We have put in a health order mandating testing at our borders and our MIQ, which is our managed isolation facilities. What I should again say, though, is that no testing regime will ever be 100%, because even if you test weekly, and I think it would be almost impossible to do anything of a really high frequency. Even a weekly test would mean that if you tested someone on the Wednesday and, you know, they were in contact with COVID on the Friday and, you know, at work potentially in that time, you wouldn't pick it up again until your weekly rota, which is why we had daily health checks for all our staff. Mm. No one who was unwell was allowed to be at work. We had PPE use. And, of course, all of the distancing around anyone who was coming through our airports.
In terms of inside the border then, have we got enough contact tracing? That's been another criticism levelled this week. Is there enough rigour in the contact tracing program?
Yes. And, of course, what we've been working to is making sure that we are contact tracing everyone within a 48-hour period of having a positive test returned. So that means getting the interviews done very quickly, and often we will re-interview critical people just to make sure we pick up everyone. And yes, that's been meeting our expectations. We've had, you know, 100-plus people in our national call centre. Some days, you know, they've been turning those around very, very quickly as soon as that information for them for contacting is loaded.
Now, we have heard that there are some groups that are exempt from the managed isolation that we see for most people returning into the country, aircrew being one group in particular there. They have a different quarantining process and it's more to do with self-isolation. Are you comfortable that that is enough to keep that safe?
So for aircrew, and again, I do need to keep pointing out here that there's nothing to suggest it yet, that these are the sources of our outbreak. Aircrew are required, depending on whether or not they're deemed high risk or low risk. Ministry of Health worked with Air New Zealand on the practices for that and approved those processes. Aircrew, for instance, if a pilot is flying to Australia and does not leave the cockpit for the entire time, then they have different requirements versus aircrew who may fly somewhere where they overnight. In those cases, they are required to self-isolate. They cannot leave self-isolation or socialise or do anything until they return a negative test.
You've said with other groups, though, that you wanted it to be managed by the government to make sure that there is no gaps there. Is this potentially a blind spot? Or
Again, of the testing of aircrew, there's never been there has not been a positive in the time that we've been out of our lockdown period. So, from my knowledge, and we were getting reporting on aircrew testing, which was reasonable numbers, and again, it's part of their employment guidelines there. So that's part of their engagement with Air New Zealand, is that they have to be self-isolating, returning negative tests before they can come back into a workplace. And so there's an extra layer there in their employment relationship as well. So it's not just about, you know, a traveller returning home to New Zealand.
Now, I did just want to touch briefly on schools before we let you go, Prime Minister. This week, the health order has changed to give school principals the option to bring senior students back to school for classroom learning. This is at secondary school. Are you concerned that some teachers and principals will feel pressured to return to face-to-face teaching when they might not, A, feel personally comfortable with it or prepared as a school to do that yet?
Well, this has to be an exemption-based process. So it's only, firstly, a principal has to apply to the Director General of Health. It is for only years 12 and 13 students. It's for those, what we're trying to target here are groups who, for their assessments and their work, it is very hard to do it through distance learning. So there are people, for instance, who are doing chemistry or other subjects that have practical elements to them. And given, you know, where we are in assessment cycles, so principals have to make that request. They have to fulfil certain criteria to be able to do it. So it is fairly tightly managed. It's not anticipated that this will be the carte blanche return of senior students to schools across Auckland. That's not what it's designed
for. Are you worried, though, that that could be creating further academic inequities between students who go to schools in different deciles or who go to schools that are differently resourced? Do you think that could be an issue arising here?
I refuse to believe that we don't have the capability and capacity in our schools across Auckland to be able to manage this if that is appropriate for their school and their subjects and their students. And so ultimately, those who are excluded from the ability to do this are those who have had cases attached to their schools. Obviously, we're not going to run that risk. So, you know, a school like Mount Albert Grammar won't be able to do this, but I'm not going to make that judgment that there isn't that capacity, willingness or capability across our other schools. I just think it's a real deficit approach to this issue.
And just finally, has the Education Minister consulted the teachers' union at all on this?
I would have to ask him that question, but I do know that this decision came as a result of enormous anxiety from students who were worried about the fact that this is very close in their senior years to times of assessment and examination, and there are some subjects where online learning is just so difficult. Keeping in mind that we have also approved and made sure that we have digital devices across our student cohort now to overcome any barriers there for online learning as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. I know it is a very busy time at the moment, so we appreciate you chatting to us. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Cheers, thank you.
Thanks.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.